And a lot of people don't know what passion means. It's like, no, I just need to get up and I need to go to work and I have something to do. And that's fine. Yeah. Some people think that passion means that they have to be exuberant and charismatic, and that's not necessarily true either. But if they have that kind of the thing inside, you can call it a vision, yeah, of there's something out there that I was meant to do. And I may not even be able to see what that is clearly yet, but I know it's, if I go in this direction, I'll get more information that I need to be able to do that. Then, and they're willing to go and do that, then those are the people that will succeed.
Welcome to the 3 Steps to Thrive podcast, where each show will show you 3 simple, practical, and actionable steps to improve your life or your business. Now, here's your host, James Lamb. And guess what? That's me.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. My name is James from the 3 Steps to Thrive podcast. I'm super excited here to have international best-selling author Michelle Nedelec here. Michelle, say hi.
Hi.
Michelle is an expert in entrepreneurialism and the founder of Awareness Strategies. Michelle, where are you based today?
I'm in Calgary, Canada.
Calgary, probably the world's best city. Anyways, Michelle has run her own series of companies for over 22 years. And over 15 years, she's been helping managers and executives to continuously double their profits and revenues. And this is super cool. This is what I love about Michelle. She not only has what it takes to build her to help her clients build million-dollar companies, but she does it time and time again. So team, if you're looking to scale, Michelle is a really good person to speak to. Michelle particularly loves, apparently, to talk about marketing automation. She has her partner, Brad, who is also in the same company, talking about marketing automation. One can only wonder what their dinner conversations would consist of. And she teaches the key components of business, strategy, systems, and state of mind, so you know how to continually elevate all 3 components to build a healthy, thriving business. For the past 6 years, she's been focusing on helping entrepreneurs bring their businesses online from conceptualization to done-it-for-you IT automation. Welcome, Michelle, to the show.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
I have a whole bunch of questions for you here. Now, one of the first lines I asked you was, I said, you were an international best-selling author. What's your book? I didn't realize this. So for our listeners, I've known Michelle now for probably about 3 months, Michelle, I think, and even had the privilege of going for pizza and beer, and that was amazing, by the way. But I didn't realize you were an author. So tell us about the book.
So it's called The Business Ownership Mindset, and it is understanding the premise of we start life as consumers and we elevate into creating things, into being an employee, and then we work our way up, in my mind ideally, to becoming an entrepreneur. And it's not about staying as an entrepreneur, in my mind. To take it up to the next level is to be a business owner, which means to have a business that runs with or without you and probably runs better without you than it does for you. And some people call that passive income. Some people call that a major headache. Some people a lot of things. But in kind of my elevation of kind of the human persona, when you figure out what it takes to be able to run a company that runs without you, that creates revenue, you have to bring yourself to a certain level of conditioning. So you have to get rid of your childhood conditioning. You have to get rid of your limitations. You have to get rid of a whole lot of stuff and take on a whole lot of new things so that you can become all that you are meant to be and all that you're capable of being. Doesn't mean you have to stay in that role. You can then transition and do whatever you want to do when you want to do it, because now you know kind of what your parameters are and your comfort zone is so much more expanded that it allows you to actually do the things that you're innately good at. You just don't know you're good at it yet.
Interesting. That sounds like a really good read. I didn't realize that. So I expect an autographed copy within the next week in my mailbox, Michelle. So tell me, is this great for people who are just starting out or thinking about starting a business, or is it for people who have been in business for a while and scale? And let me just finish my thought here, because we know there's always, there's different levels of businesses. And one thing that Michelle said that I don't know if you clued in on, and I'm talking to you listeners, obviously, is the fact that there's a difference between an owner and a business owner, right? Like someone who runs the business versus someone who actually has a business to generate passive income. So who is this? What's this book? Who is this book ideally targeted to?
So ideally targeted to would probably be the entrepreneur that's hit that ceiling, that proverbial ceiling where they're trying to build their company, but they don't know why it's not working. And what it does is show you that there are kind of this glass of ceiling, if you want, but it's a self-imposed glass ceiling. And it's trying to use the knowledge and skills that you have in order to become more successful. And that sounds ironic, but what got you to where you are will only get you to where you are. Now you need to have a whole new skill set in order to get you to where you want to be, which of course everybody goes, well, no kidding. If I want to learn how to ride a bike, I'm going to have to learn how to ride a bike. The problem is that learning how to ride a bike and then going, say, and driving a car is that like what you learned riding a bike doesn't become negated when you learn to ride a car. You're going, oh, the rules of the road still remain the same. I'm just going faster in a bigger vehicle, but the rules still remain the same. Whereas when you go from being an entrepreneur to being a business owner, the rules change. So what made you successful as an entrepreneur will kill you when you try to become a business owner. And it's having to let go of those things that you've become so attached to that, because there's this irony that goes on. And anybody that's become an entrepreneur knows that what got you successful, say in management or at a job, all of a sudden will kill you when you become an entrepreneur. Because if you're waiting for your clients to give you instructions and you go, oh, yes, sir, no, sir, three bags full, sir, that'll kill your business. You have to be the visionary that understands the vision of the company and saying, okay, I get it. My clients want this from me, but I don't want to deliver that anymore. So I'm either going to fire those clients or I'm going to refer them over to somebody else that does those things. And this is what I want to do. And this is what I'm building. And this is where I'm going. You got to put blinders on. And then once you do that, you become very successful because now you've created something that didn't exist before and that, you know, holds its own space and has its own niche, if you will. But then when you go to become a business owner, now you got to let go of your baby. So everything that you before struggled to be able to go, yes, I am all this and I am awesome and I'm fantastic, which most entrepreneurs hate doing. But once they get the hang of that, they become very successful. Now all of a sudden you go into business ownership and it's like, oh no, the company is very successful. My people are successful. The systems are successful. It's got nothing to do with me.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Let me ask you this question. And I'm trying to think about how to phrase it. So a lot of times we are told we are inherently good at something. You are talented in X, Y, Z, right? And so when we see somebody and we hear or we tell somebody they're talented in X, Y, Z, almost instantaneously, those people tend, you know, those entrepreneurs are like, I'm going to start a business in this. And I guess my question is, you know, these people have started a business in something and some of them are struggling by. So is this a matter of persistence? Because we've been told several times about persist, 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 endure until you make it. Or do you think it's the wrong business? Like, can you comment on that? And I don't think it's a yes or no question, Michelle. I guess it's passion versus, you know, passion and ability versus trying to build something.
Great question. It is definitely not a exact answer to that. Because as I said, you might be really good at selling ice to Eskimos, but if there's no Eskimos where you are, your business is going to fail. Like you have to be where the people are that are going to buy your thing. And so you may be really good at it. It's just you haven't set up the environment that you need to in order to be successful. It might be that you are really good at what you do, but you're not really clear on what the message is. You might be really good at what you do. Your message is clear, but it's not clear who those people are. Like there's all sorts of kind of catalysts or things that will stop somebody from being successful in selling the thing that they're really good at. And I think it's a matter of recognizing those and figuring out which step is the number one priority. And we'll be talking about this in a little bit because identifying your number one marketing priority to us is paramount. It's if you don't have these steps in the right order, then you're going to fall flat in your face and we want to help you avoid that at all costs.
Okay. No, fair. So you've been in business with a number of different businesses, so to speak. You've had a number of different businesses. Tell us about one that was particularly memorable other than the one you currently have.
Excellent. Well, the one that was particularly memorable kind of fell flat on my face, but it was really funny. So I used to live in Inuvik in the Northwest Territories, and I was a terrible employee. So my partner at the time decided that we should run a company together. Yes. And I thought, well, hey, let's run a tanning salon. As in, you know, there's a bunch of, I'm going to say it politically incorrect, there's a bunch of white people up there that when they go on holidays, fry like crispy critters because they haven't seen the sun in 10 months.
Yes.
So I figured, oh, we'll bring tanning beds up there and we'll start a tanning salon, which sounds like a great idea until you realize that we're up in the Northwest Territories where skinning animals and tanning them is still a thing. Well, it still was. That was 20-some-odd years ago. I don't know what they do now. So people would phone and go, is this a tanning salon or a tanning facility? And I said, well, it's not really a facility, it's a salon. And they're like, what do you mean? I don't get it. So they go, yeah, take them and you make them feel really good about themselves. Yes. So they didn't, the marketing and the message and the people and the environment was totally a flop, but it was still a super fun concept to be the first tanning salon in the Arctic Circle.
No, that's fair. And it's interesting because every time, as you said, every time we make a mistake, we grow as owners, I think. And I think the listenership understands that, and they have to understand that, right? You can't move forward if you never fail, right? If you never fail, you're not even trying. So tell me about a time over 22 years of owning businesses. What was your most memorable failure, and what did you learn from it?
I try to forget them. So it might take me a second to bring that up again. My most epic failure, I think, was I ran a financial services company, and it was very difficult, kind of grind there while I was doing it. Economic reasons, marketing reasons, the market reasons. And I had 15 people working for me. It was great. Like we were blowing and going on one level and blowing and dying on the other hand. Yeah. And I just went like, enough is enough. I'm out of here. I can't do this anymore. And I shut down the business. And had I stayed for two more months, the rules changed, everything changed. I would have been making about five times more than I was instantaneously just because the rules of the game changed.
Yes.
And I went, oh, you're killing me. And the irony is, I don't think I really got the lesson because we went and climbed Mount Kilimanjaro probably 20 years later after that. And so we're climbing up the mountain. The last day, you start at midnight and you climb until 6 o'clock in the morning and the sun comes up and it's all lovely and beautiful. So for 6 hours, I'm climbing up what I affectionately called Snot Rock, because you take one step up and one step back, one step up, one step back. And we're doing this in pitch blackness. You can't see anything other than the headlights on the other hikers' heads.
Right.
And nothing seems to be moving. There's constantly a line ahead of me, a constantly a line below me, and blackness everywhere. So after about 6 hours of this, I'm like, I'm done. I'm so done. I'm leaving. Brad goes, you didn't drag me halfway around the world to quit now. He goes, well, what are you going to do? And I went, oh, well, if I quit now and I go back to camp, I'm just going to have to sit and wait for everybody to get back anyways, right?
Yeah.
Which just seems ridiculous for no reason. So just keep going. And it was that moment that I realized I have a tendency to quit right before I get to the summit.
Mm.
And it was like the same pattern over and over again. So now when I get to that point, like, I'm so sick of this, I'm done. It's like, okay, but just tomorrow. You can quit tomorrow. I promise. I'll let you. And then tomorrow comes and something awesome happens and it carries me on. And it's all well, good.
That's a really good point because, you know, entrepreneurship is a slog sometimes. And it's okay to say that, right? I know a lot of listeners will have seen sort of unicorns or rainbows about finding your own freedom, about finding a freedom of lifestyle, about working for yourself. But it's not easy. And anybody who's been in it for a long time will realize it's not easy. So nowadays you've gone through sort of the entrepreneurial journey. You've had a number of different businesses and you've been successful at the vast majority of them, and you have been less successful at things like tanning and finances. So we're going to keep you away from those. But tell me exactly. So you help other entrepreneurs and business owners now.
Yes.
Okay.
So one of the successes that I have is in realizing that our own mindset is cataclysmic to us being able to succeed. So if our headspace isn't in the right spot, then any tactics that we do are going to fail because we're going to self-sabotage in some way, shape, or form. We are always going to create the results that our beliefs have us set up for. So that, to me, was paramount in being able to understand that it's okay to be a crazy entrepreneur. It's absolutely fantastic. It's wonderful. And running your own company is going to be the best personal development seminar that you have ever taken in your life. And it's not going to be always fun. It's not always going to be easy, but it is definitely worthwhile.
Okay. Tell me about, you said mindset. Now, this is the second or third time you've talked about it. What do you believe in mindset and how do you work on your mindset every day?
That is another great question. So in about 2007, I developed a process or process that we call success therapy. And it's basically being able to understand how to change our beliefs. Because what happens essentially is as we're growing up, we shower our parents and our authority figures with love and affection. And as long as they love us, we will emulate them and make them proud. And we will do the exact same thing they did so that we can live to a ripe old age of whatever age they are, right? It's an innate human quality. We have no choice over that. So then as we're going through that, we learn whatever our parents learned, and that was awesome. And then we hit our teenage years, and in a healthy family, we will be encouraged to break loose of the family ties and the family ways of doing things and the family conditioning and go out and figure out some new ways of doing things. Mm-hmm. In a dysfunctional family, we get shut down and go, no, you have to do it our way. And this is the way it is. So in those kind of dysfunctional relationships, and there are always, so no matter how functional your family is, there's always some sort of quote unquote dysfunctional beliefs going on that we have to, in order to be able to increase our comfort zone, we have to be able to change those beliefs. So what success therapy does is it goes, essentially goes back to the time when we made those decisions emotionally. And we go, basically, we say, you know, love you, mom and dad, but I don't have to buy into this anymore. And this is the way I choose to do it now that I'm 40, 50, whatever age the person happens to be. And they allow themselves to create new beliefs based on all of their life experiences. And understanding too that changing our beliefs is the most life-threatening thing we will ever do. It is more life-threatening than a fireman going into a burning building and saving somebody, because they know how to go into a burning building. They know how to go and save somebody without them dying. Whereas when we're changing our beliefs, we don't know what's on the other side. We hope that it's for the better, but our humanity keeps us shut in and going, no, as long as we keep doing what we're doing, we'll stay alive. It might suck. It might not be comfortable. It might not be this or the other thing. We might be making the money we want to, but we'll be quote unquote safe. We'll still live. And I know we'll still live because we got to this point, right? So that's why running your own company and changing those beliefs is kind of so difficult. And every day I do success therapy on myself and I go back and change those beliefs because they're limiting. They used to work, but they just don't serve me anymore.
Yeah, it's a really interesting thing, isn't it? Being able to and really truly change how you believe something, right? It can be quite powerful, but it's also quite challenging as well. And it's not, I think you would agree with me on this one, Michelle. It's not a yes or no, it's kind of an ongoing project, so to speak.
Oh, so absolutely.
You know, and I'm probably sure you're probably going to talk about this as one of your 3 points, but I'm going to hijack them anyways. If you were to recommend a business owner, and they could be at any stage, but let's assume they are just starting and they're finding it harder than it should be. Okay. No one expects it to be as difficult as it is. How would you suggest they start to work on themselves before they get entrenched in the idea of failure or trading time for money?
Well, one of the iconic books is Think and Grow Rich. And if anybody's gone into business and they haven't read that book, they have to read that book. That's bar none. It should be kind of considered the homework for every entrepreneur because it goes through a lot of the kind of the wealthy mindset. I used to say that when I grew up, my parents were both employees. So I grew up with an employee mentality and they had no way of telling me what an entrepreneurial mentality was. Had I grown up in a family where both my parents were entrepreneurs, I would have grown up in that environment. And what Think and Grow Rich does is kind of put you back at the table of this is how you have to think in order to be an entrepreneur.
Right. Okay. Cool. What do you, so we're going to switch gears for a second, but it's really, really important, before we do that, the list, you know, I don't know why I'm talking to listeners like third person. You're the one that's listening to us anyways, but that you try to work on yourself. And I don't mean that in a condescending way. It's something that I've had success with, and it's taken years and years. And it sounds like something that Michelle's been working on for the past, how many years would you say, Michelle?
On my personal development, at least the last 20 for sure. Hardcore.
It's a big thing, right? And then, you know, I think both of us would still agree that we still fall into bad habits, but at least now you can recognize when those habits are toxic and when they don't serve any purpose. Anyhow, I'm going to get off my high horse now, but tell me exactly in your own words, your current project, which is Awareness Strategies. Tell us what it does. And I want to make this a two-part question. So what do you do, and why do you like working with entrepreneurs and business owners so much?
Nice. And which will tie into what was implied as your third question, which was, do we really need to do personal development for the rest of our lives? And the answer is yes, we do. So I'll return back to that in a second. So what Awareness Strategies does now is specifically digital marketing agency, and we specialize in the area of affiliate marketing, which is kind of an interesting little niche for a digital marketing company, in that what we do is help entrepreneurs figure out how to get other entrepreneurs to help promote them to their list so that it becomes easier for them to market. So once upon a time, we used to encourage people to get 100% commission salespeople in order to promote their company. And it takes a lot, and they are highly skilled individuals, and they tend to be a little diva-ish, so they're kind of hard to work with. And they're great. Don't get me wrong. I totally love 100% commission salespeople. But when you can get an affiliate salesperson working for you and marketing your products and services to their peeps, it is phenomenal how much growth you can have and how quickly you can do it. And the reason we do that is because it is so much fun to watch entrepreneurs succeed. To us, and to me in particular, I believe that everybody on the planet should be an entrepreneur for their own personal evolution. Mm-hmm. So it has nothing to do with quote unquote making money or being successful or any of that stuff. I see it as, like I said, the perfect personal development course. Yes. And in order to figure out who you are, what you're made of, what your special sauce is, to become as awesome as you can possibly be, you need to be successful as an entrepreneur. So our goal is to help as many people possibly do that. Well, the goal is to help a million people reach $1 million. So
you mentioned marketing automation. You're part-time psychologist too, aren't you? Because you deal with all the entrepreneur problems and challenges and things like that, I'm sure.
Well, I'm not legally a psychologist, but do I definitely work on all of their mindset and their head trash? Yes, absolutely. So part of my kind of background was, for a good 15 of those years, I was an executive coach helping entrepreneurs using success therapy to help them to get out of their own way, to be able to make choices that would help them and engage and become stronger, more independent business owners.
Sure. Awesome. Before we get to your 3 points, tell me one characteristic that you've noticed about successful entrepreneurs. So you've worked in and amongst them for 22 years. You've seen people come and go, you've seen people, try to fake it and don't make it or fake it and make it. I'm not sure which one it is, or you've seen both. Tell us the one thing that you see that these people share as a characteristic of who are successful.
Nice. And they are what in my community we call a special kind of crazy. So some people say, oh, you need to do this, you need to do that. And I go, yeah, it totally depends on what your business is. It totally depends on how you have it set up. Somebody can be super shy and quiet, and somebody else can be super gregarious and outgoing. Some people can be tenacious and go-getters. Some people just kind of sit back and allow things to happen. But they all have this characteristic of being that special kind of crazy, that they just, there's something in them that they know that if they pursue this and, you know, go after it, that they will become successful, even though all of their outside results at this moment might say, no, that's not going to happen.
Yeah. Interesting, huh? So they have a bigger vision, so to speak, right? And they have a passion and drive behind it, I suppose.
Potentially. I find, and I don't mean to kind of say no, because that's not what I'm saying at all. But semantically, I find a lot of coaches say, oh, you just have to be really passionate about that. And a lot of people don't know what passion means. It's like, no, I just need to get up and I need to go to work and I have something to do. And that's fine. Yeah. Some people think that passion means that they have to be exuberant and charismatic. And that's not necessarily true either. But if they have that kind of the thing inside, you can call it a vision of there's something out there that I was meant to do. And I may not even be able to see what that is clearly yet, but I know it's, if I go in this direction, I'll get more information that I need to be able to do that. Then, and they're willing to go and do that, then those are the people that will succeed.
That's amazing, huh? That's a really, really good way to put it. Cause we hear about passion all the time and you're absolutely right. It's become kind of a word that encompasses so many things. It's kind of lost its meaning, right? So that was very well put. Okay, let's tell me about the three things that a business owner can adopt, whether it's in your field or whether it's your philosophy, to improve themselves or improve the business.
Cool. Well, we gave you one little bonus one, which was the mindset and working on that.
Yes.
But inside the business, to me, strategy, systems, and support are key. So no matter where somebody is, even if you haven't started your business yet, you just have an idea of where it's at, or if you're already running a multi-million dollar company and you want to take it up a notch, start with number one is strategy. Strategize where, so you have this goal of where you want to be. Now figure out a strategy for it instead of using just tactics and throwing them up against the wall and going, hey, we'll try this, we'll try that, we'll try this. Backtrack, sit down with somebody that understands business. If it's a business strategist, that's awesome. If it's a marketing strategist, that's awesome. And if it just happens to be somebody that is also in business that you can hash things out with, don't recommend it, but figure out what the strategy is for where you want to go, because it will eliminate 80% of the headaches, the wasted energy, the wasted money, the wasted everything. Like the 80-20 rule is alive and well when it comes to setting up your strategy. Number two is setting up your systems to be able to do that, because you can go haphazard and go, well, we're going to try it this way, and then we're going to try it that way, and then we're going to try it this way. And again, you'll drive yourself insane because you don't know why what you're doing isn't working unless you have systems in place and you do it three times and then you get accurate data to be able to say, okay, we did it three times and this is what we got. These are the aspects that worked and these are the aspects that didn't work.
Right.
And it's only through those systems. And of course, the third one is support. And so many entrepreneurs that I know go, I'm just going to do it on my own. I know how to do this. I'm super smart. I'm going to learn everything from the marketing, the Infusionsoft, the how to recalibrate my car engine. It's an insane amount of, I know you're capable of it. I know you're confident at it. You're that special kind of crazy. But when you get support and allowing people to do what they're good at, even if you start with volunteers at first, and you'd be surprised how many people will volunteer their time to help you. Trust me on that one. And then you work your way up to a VA, and then you work your way up to full-time support or contract workers, whatever it is. But support is key in order to be able to grow fast. And you want to grow as fast as you can without breaking the system. But if you're just starting out, make your first 100 grand. If you already got your 100 grand, you get up to 500 grand. Once you got up to 500 grand, get up to a million two, and it starts to compound. But the three keys never change. Do your strategies first, your systems, and then your support.
That's amazing. Can you repeat those one more time, those three points?
Strategy, systems, and support. And of course, the bonus one is state of mind.
Yes.
You just keep recycling through those and you will get there, I promise.
Amazing. That's amazing. So if people, and I understand you're starting a podcast as well.
I am. Super excited about that. Our podcast is Business Ownership Podcast, and it's helping business owners to be able to implement those strategies, systems, support, and state of mind.
Imagine that, huh? Good for you. So to my my listeners, if you want to hear more about Michelle, make sure you search that out. I'm going to have the address of your podcast in the notes as well. One more. I think that's just about it. What's, if my listeners want to contact you and want to chat more to you, what's the easiest way for them to do that?
The easiest way is to set up a time to meet with me. You can go to awarenessstrategies.com/M30, okay. M30, and set up a time to meet with me and say, hey, James sent me over, and we will happily get you going.
Okay, that's amazing. It's a no cost obligation consultation. You can point them in the right direction. Is that right?
Absolutely. And what they get when they do that is we'll set them up with a marketing assessment, so they know that what their number one priority is in marketing. And if they want to carry on from there, they can get their business blueprint, and that allows them to know exactly what they need for their marketing for the next year. And they can come back to James and go, hey, Michelle said do this, and get them to go and do that for you.
All right, team. That's look, it's really good to hear from you, Michelle. And just a reminder to the listeners here, my guests come, I don't pay them to come on. They come on willingly. They come on to share their advice, their wisdom. And a lot of that knowledge comes from having failed before. And one of the things that I'm passionate about, and Michelle's passionate about, and anybody else that that I bring on, is we're basically saying, don't do what I do. Don't fail, because I've been there and it sucks and you don't want to go there. So please, you know, if you have any interest, even if you just want to say hi to Michelle, I'm sure she has a wealth of knowledge to help support you moving you forward. So again, that web address is
awarenessstrategies.com/M30.
And that's going to be definitely in the notes as well. So check it out. Michelle, I can't thank you enough for all the support you provided me and for being on the show. Is there anything that you'd like to say to finish off here?
Well, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it immensely. And if our listeners are blown and grown and doing awesome, congratulations, keep it up. If you're struggling and you're getting to the point where you're like, oh my God, I quit, this is insane, keep going. Just fail forward, fail fast.
Amazing. The more times you fail, the faster you fail, the closer you are to your goal, right? That's another one. So team, it's been a pleasure having Michelle on. If you enjoyed this podcast, please, please, please make sure you subscribe and also rate. When we get more 5-star ratings, it means we can get out to more people, and there's no cost for this podcast. So the learning is so important that entrepreneurs of all ages, of all experience levels, listens to this, because let's face it, the world is turned around by small business. You work harder than anybody else and you need those results. This is one of those ways to educate yourself. So thank you, Michelle, for joining me. And team, it's been a pleasure, and we will see you next week. Same time, same place. Looking forward to it.
Don't forget, if you love this podcast, please leave a review. One of my goals is to support as many entrepreneurs and small business owners as possible with these simple, actionable, and practical tips. My team and I spend countless hours finding great guests who are experts in their field, and these people 100% volunteer to be on this show. And one of the best ways to help other people find this podcast is with your review. So if you would be so kind and subscribe and leave a review, this show can get out to more people, and I would be forever grateful. So thank you in advance. Okay, guys, thanks so much once more for tuning in. See you next week and have a great few days.